Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's. Special welcome to our worship guests. We're pleased to have you in God's house and to celebrate a very special day, our celebration of the Festival of Pentecost, the day that God made good on his promise to bless his church with the Holy Spirit, to give us wisdom and to give us understanding. I would also like to introduce to you our guest preacher for this morning from California Lutheran High School, Pastor Schrader. Thank you for being here. And he will celebrate with us a unique way that the Holy Spirit pours out, that God pours out the Holy Spirit, especially into the hearts and lives of our children and our high school age students. And so we look forward to celebrating also Christian education, a unique blessing we have here at St. Mark's, we have in our homes, and we also have as part of California Lutheran High School. So I look forward to celebrating the Festival of Pentecost with you. The order of worship will follow is printed in the worship booklet, and we open with our opening hymn, hymn 183. Let us worship the Lord. Our celebration continues on page 3 in your worship booklets. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. We can never know anything about Christ, believe in him, or have him for our Lord, unless it were offered to us and granted to our hearts by the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel.
No one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus is first, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit.
The Spirit has his own congregation in the world, which is the mother that conceives and bears every Christian through God's word. Through the word he reveals and preaches, he illumines and enkindles hearts, so that they may understand, accept, cling to, and persevere in the word.
The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now that we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory.
I believe that there is upon earth a little holy group and congregation of pure saints under one head, Christ. This group is called together by the Holy Spirit in one faith, one mind and understanding, with many different gifts. I am also a part and member of this same group, a sharer and joint owner of all the goods it possesses.
There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called.
In this Christian church, we have forgiveness of sin, which is wrought through the holy sacraments and absolution, and through all kinds of comforting promises from the entire gospel. God's grace is secured through Christ, and sanctification is wrought by the Holy Spirit through God's word in the unity of the Christian church. We have already received creation. Redemption is also finished. But the Holy Spirit carries on his work without ceasing to the last day. For that purpose, he has appointed a congregation upon earth by which he speaks and does everything. For he has not yet brought together all his Christian church or granted all forgiveness. Therefore, we believe in him who daily brings us into the fellowship of this Christian church through the word. We could never grasp the knowledge of the Father's grace and favor except through the Lord Christ. Jesus is a mirror of the heavenly heart, outside of whom we see nothing but an angry and terrible judge. But we also could not know anything about Christ unless it had been revealed by the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, God and Lord, come to us this joyful day with your sevenfold gift of grace. Rekindle in our hearts the holy fire of your love, that in a true and living faith we may tell abroad the glory of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Father, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Please be seated. The lesson this morning are all about promises made and promises kept. Already in the Old Testament, your Savior Jesus promised to send his church the Holy Spirit. In the second lesson, we have the fulfillment, and then in the gospel, we have the pure comfort that Jesus promises you and me through the Comforter, through the Holy Spirit. So today we praise him for the many outpourings
of the gift he promised. Already in Joel chapter 2. "And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is recorded in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord. We stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel for this day is recorded in John chapter 16. "Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the hymn of the day, hymn 538.
Please stand. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our meditation for this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at the 10th verse. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. But if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters in our Savior Jesus, if you're going to build something, whether it's a house or a school or a church, you better know what you're doing when you set out to undertake that. If you just set up and throw a few 2x4s together and slap some drywall on there and say, ha-ha, I have built a house, I don't think it's going to last very long. The first windstorm that comes, the first torrential rain that hits it, and that building will come crashing down around you. You need to make sure that you, when building a structure like that, the first thing you need to do is lay a solid foundation. When we go to buy a house, or when we go to sell a house, we make sure that everything is in proper order. We have inspectors come in and check everything, especially that foundation, because if there's a problem with that foundation, that's just going to spell more time, more money, more heartaches and headaches in the future, especially if that building needs to be stripped all the way down to that foundation to fix that foundation problem. It makes good sense when we have our houses, when we have our buildings, when we have our churches and schools that we make sure they're built well because we want everyone to stay safe. Well, as we look at the words of Paul this morning, we see that that's true not just in our physical buildings, but with our spiritual house that we build. We want to take great care that we continue to do as Paul encourages us and to build on that foundation of Jesus Christ, because he is that firm foundation. He will keep us safe. He will keep us secure. Now, Paul, these words of Paul come from his first letter to the Corinthians. Now, Paul was a wandering preacher. He was an active world missionary. He would go from different city to different city, and he'd stay a little while, and he might start a church, or he might continue the work of someone who had already started. But that church in Corinth, it held a very special place in his heart, because he had spent much time with them. He got to know them personally, and he was the one who started that church. But as time went on, he moved on to other cities. But he got reports about what was going on in Corinth. And what he heard broke his heart, because there were problems abounding in that congregation. And one of the big problems that he decided to address at the start of his letter was that there was a lot of infighting in that church. This family of believers were acting like anything but. They were at each other's throats and were having all sorts of divisions within the church. And the reason for that? It's really sad and really quite foolish. They were arguing over who their favorite preacher was. You see, you had some of the old school members who said, well, this is Paul's church. He's the one who started it, so I like him the best. And then you had other people who said, well, that guy who came after Paul, Apollos, he was great. I like him the best. He's my favorite. I'm a follower of him. And then you had others who just simply said, well, I follow Jesus. Well, this seems like a silly debate, but it was cutting these people apart. And so Paul addressed the problem, and he did so by means of an illustration. He said, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. You see, Paul didn't want to be known as anyone special. He saw his role in God's plans. God had called them there to lay that firm foundation, and that's what he did. He didn't do anything out of the ordinary or extraordinary. He just proclaimed God's word and let the Holy Spirit do his work. He told the people there about that saving work of Jesus Christ. He told them about Jesus' perfect life and innocent death in their place. And the Spirit, just as promised, did his work. He worked faith in those people's hearts. And it wasn't because Paul was so eloquent with his words. It wasn't that he was such an engaging speaker. It was that power of God's word and that firm foundation of Jesus Christ. Now, if you pick up your Bibles and page through it, you'll find a common theme. It all points to Jesus, doesn't it? The Bible is what we call Christocentric. He is the focal point, and everything goes back to him. But also, you'll notice if you pick up your Bible, it has more than just three simple sentences, doesn't it? It says more than just, you're a sinner, Jesus took your place, he died, so you get to go to heaven. It says much more than that, but yet what does it all do? It goes back to that firm foundation, that foundation of Jesus' saving work for you, that firm foundation of Jesus' loving sacrifice for you. And everything is built on that. And Paul says, go back to that. Build on that solid foundation, because without Jesus at the base of it, your faith is worthless. So build on Christ. But unfortunately, not all people want to build God's house following God's blueprints. Paul addresses that. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. See, Paul points to six different types of materials, and they kind of fit into two classes based on their value and their durability. If someone's building, using his illustration, using the gold, silver, precious stones, they're using that valuable and lasting material of God's word. But if someone decides to add their own ideas, if someone tries to build God's house on something other than contained in his word, they're using those faulty materials of wood, hay, and straw. And they're going to show their value because they will not be able to stand up. Those false teachings will not be able to last. And so God says, take very special care with how you build his church. Take very special care with those materials that you use, because his command to build with his word is serious. How are you doing at St. Mark's with that? You doing pretty well building with those solid materials of God's word? Those people who preach from the pulpit or teach in the classroom? Those who go out as ambassadors for your congregations or are ambassadors within your very own homes? Thank God that he's given us faithful stewards of his word. Thank God that he has given us that truth of his word, that we can build on that firm foundation of Jesus Christ. But I want to issue a caution as you celebrate those blessings. You see, at the same time we can celebrate that truth that God has given us here, we also have to be wary and we have to be watchful because we have that adversary, that devil who likes to twist God's blessings into something that's a problem. Because while we celebrate that we have the truth of God's word before us, we have to watch out for that temptation to puff ourselves up with pride. And rather than looking at those on the outside who are lost in the lies of Satan, who are stuck in the deceit that this world holds before them, we have a temptation to look down on them. Say, how come they don't get it right? How come they just can't see the truth? And we look down on them rather than reaching out with a heart of compassion. Or perhaps we come at it from the other side and begin to question, is this really true? Do we really have this right? And we let those teachings of this world infect and affect our mind, and we begin to base what we believe on what we're feeling, what we're thinking, and then suddenly we're leaving that firm foundation of Jesus Christ behind, and we're following our own blueprints and building with those teachings of wood, hay, and straw. And if we're building our faith on what we think, what we feel, rather than the truth of God's word, then we end up like those first two little pigs, don't we? Who built their houses out of wood and straw, and when the big bad wolf came, he huffed and puffed, and he blew their houses down, and he devoured them. Well, that devil would like nothing more than to have us remove ourselves from that firm foundation of Christ. He would like nothing more than for us to build with materials other than God's word and to huff and puff and devour us. And of course, that devouring would not just be a death in this life, but that eternal death. And so we see God's command to build is great and it is sincere. And we recognize that there have times where we've fallen into those temptations with God's word, not always treasuring it as God has commanded us to. And so what do? Well, we turn back to Paul's words once again and go back to that place where he started us with. We go back to that firm foundation of Jesus Christ. We, in humble contrition, go and confess our sins to God, and with the faith that the Holy Spirit has worked in our hearts, we know and believe that we are forgiven. Because Christ was perfect for those times where we were filled with selfish pride. Christ was holy for those times where we've doubted and distrusted God. Throughout his life, he always held his Father's will in the highest regard. Throughout his life, he always dealt with other people with compassion. Throughout his life, he always dealt with others in love. And yet, what did your Savior do for you? He suffered the hell that was rightfully yours so that you could have heaven. And by his blood, he cleanses you and washes you, making you pure. And the Holy Spirit gives you that faith to believe and know and be able to receive that gift of eternal life one day. Yes, that's that firm foundation of Christ, and that's that firm foundation that we build upon. Well, what does such building look like in today's world? You see before your eyes that beautiful baptismal font. Anytime a child or adult is brought forth and that water is combined with that word, that's building on that foundation of Jesus Christ. We'll have the opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Supper later together with our fellow believers. That's that construction going on. As parents teach their children in the home, as the children hear about God's word in their school or in Sunday school, that's that construction taking place. As we gather together for worship and Bible class, that's that building that goes on. What a blessing it is that God has given us those blueprints and those tools and that he has blessed our work. Well, one of those other blessings that God has given us in California is now in its 40th year. California Lutheran High School has been actively proclaiming God's word for 40 years. And just think of all that's taken place in the last 40 years. Blu-ray players, smartphones. You think of the cars that are outside. All new ideas and new inventions. You think of our government and the different presidents that have come into leadership positions. You think globally and you think of 40 years ago, the USSR was a world superpower. Now it's not even in existence. But yet, 40 years, California Lutheran High School has been in a changing world proclaiming that changeless message of Jesus Christ. And some of those students come into CLHS firmly grounded in their faith. They know who their Savior is, and they've grown in God's Word. And for the next 4 years at CLHS, they grow deeper in that love for their Lord. Other kids come in not knowing anything about Jesus. And through their time at CLHS, they have an opportunity to hear about their Savior, to learn about their Savior, and let that Holy Spirit do His work in their hearts. And graduates from CLHS, the thousands that have gone through, have gone on to do things like be pastors, teachers, architects, engineers, servicemen. Yeah, they've been done so much more, but more than the benefit and blessing that they have in this world and that they can be to their society, they've been blessed by coming to know their Savior. They've been blessed as that foundation has built upon for the life here and for the life to come. Yes, God has been good to us. You look around at your facility and God has been good to you. You look around and you see that word, God has been good to you. You see that cross before your eyes and remember that forgiveness that God has for you. Blessings abound because we have a gracious and forgiving God. Blessings abound because He has given us the truth of His word. Build on that foundation of Jesus Christ. And give thanks to God for those who do it for you, both here in your church and in your family and in your school. And thank God for the blessings that He has given to you through your California Lutheran High School. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now join in confessing our faith according to Luther's explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. It's found on page 9 of the service folder. I believe that I cannot, by my own thinking or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, He daily and fully forgives all sins to me and all believers. On the last day, He will raise me and all the dead, and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. You may be seated. At this time, we bring our gifts to the Lord. Before the Lord's Prayer, in the prayer of the church, we will offer two special prayers, one on behalf of Tom Schlittenhart, offering a prayer of thanks for a successful surgery this past week, and also offer a prayer on behalf of St. Mark's as the call meeting for the next pastor will take place. But the prayer of the church begins at the bottom of page 9. Praise to you, Holy Spirit. We worship and glorify you as the Lord and the giver of life. As you were present at the beginning of the world to shed life on all created things, as you gave a new life of understanding to the disciples in your Pentecost baptism of fire, so by the baptism of water with the word, you have made the light of faith shine in our hearts to know Jesus as our Lord.
We praise you for growing your church and for dwelling in our hearts, just as Jesus.
Holy Spirit, all-seeing counselor and fountain of all spiritual gifts, stand by us in the weakness of our sinful flesh. Grant us a right understanding of the truths that Jesus taught. Give us strength to endure with patience whatever afflictions God may send into our lives. Help us, intercede for us, train us that we may pray to the Father with boldness and confidence. Preserve us by the power of your word in our most holy faith as members of the church, the body of Jesus, where there is forgiveness for all.
Make us confident to trust in your holy word, strong to cling to your promises of forgiveness, and bold to live our lives for you.
Holy Spirit, highest comfort in every need in these gray and last days of the world, strengthen our feeble hands, steady our weak knees, encourage our fearful hearts, remind us of your word and promises. Be strong, do not fear. Your Lord will come again. He will come to save you. And in your final mighty creative act, O Holy Spirit, raise up our bodies so that we, together with all the saints, may lift up our heads and with glorified eyes see our Savior drawing near. We thank you, O Lord, for seeing Tom Schlittenhart through surgery this past week. We praise you for the doctors and staff you used to heal his body. Please be with him and his family as he recovers. May they be brought ever closer to you as they look to you and to your word in the days and weeks ahead for continuing comfort, strength, and guidance. Also, bless our upcoming call meeting. If it is your will, may the pastor we call be our next shepherd here. Give us patience to wait on your wisdom and will as we call. May your name be glorified and your kingdom be blessed always. Trusting in our Savior's name, we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us make our preparation to receive the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. By the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, he empowered his church to be witnesses of Christ to the ends of the earth. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
We join to thank God for feeding us with his word this morning, as well as through his holy meal. We do so with the song Thank the Lord on page 14. Please stand. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. We close by sharing a blessing with each other, hymn 326. Please be seated. May Jesus be praised for keeping all of his promises, especially to build you, his people, up through the gift of the Holy Spirit and the blessing he pours out on you. May you enjoy living for your God under those blessings in the week ahead. Again, to our worship guests, it was nice to have you in God's house. If you didn't fill out one of the connection cards, that's the best way to get in touch with St. Mark's. Please feel free to visit with me in the lobby, or you could stop back during the week too. Be happy to share all the different ways that St. Mark's can connect you to Jesus and is here to serve you. Thank you, Pastor, for sharing God's word with us. And Pastor will introduce himself briefly after worship, and then he'll also take the Bible study hour. It's a Bible study on Christian education. So again, a unique blessing and way that the Holy Spirit pours out his blessings into the hearts of God's people. So again, thank you for sharing God's word with us. I've been asked to remind you that the LWMS offering boxes are due this Sunday. So if you participate in those offerings, please have those ready, and then they will become collected. Also, I've been asked to share an update with you regarding Pastor and Heather Groth and their arrival here at St. Mark's. They lived in India for a couple of years, so they don't have a whole lot of stuff. So here's a list of some items that they are looking for. So if you have some of these around, or if you see a good deal at a garage sale or maybe on Craigslist, Mrs. Bauer is coordinating with them, as is Mrs. Roush, so perhaps get in touch with them. But here's just a brief list: a queen-size bed, dressers, both for Pastor and Heather, and for Gideon too, so he's one, and end tables, coffee table, kitchen tables and chairs, bookshelves, vacuum
lamps. They'll also need household items like bedding, dishes, silverware, and the like. She misses growth like shopping at Target, so perhaps you could keep that in mind if you participate in the gift card shower. That will go a long way to help them purchase some of those things. So if you would keep those on your radar, and again, be in touch with Mrs. Rausch or Mr. Bauer, then we can make sure that when Pastor comes, they have a great place to stay. And it's a great way to worship God to do that too. Also, as far as schedule goes, we have a lot going on this week. Remember, gentlemen on the council, that the meeting got bumped up a week, so don't let that catch you off guard. Also, Wednesday, 6:30, correct, is the start time? 6:30, move that up a little bit because we added the call meeting to that meeting as well. So 6:30 on Wednesday, we have very important business to attend to, so please make sure you clear your calendars if you have not yet. Make the changes you need to be at that meeting, as a call will be extended, the budget will be reviewed and passed, and elections will take place too. So there's a lot going on. And also, Crossroads is this weekend. There's a sign-up sheet, especially for the dinner, if you can help with setup, takedown, and if you will be attending. So see the back table for that. And any other Crossroads specific or anything that I am forgetting? No, yes, go ahead, Mrs. Schlittenhart, please. Thank you. Appreciate that. With that, I will turn it over to Pastor Schrader for an announcement. Here, if you could, will you please give it from the pulpit, please? That way we won't have to do the switch of the mic. It's my fault. Appreciate that.
Well, good morning once again. As Pastor had said, I'm the campus pastor down at California Lutheran High School. How many of you are familiar with CLHS in one way, shape, or form? Oh, good number of you. Good to hear. This CLHS just finished its 40th year, as I mentioned. And what a tremendous blessing that has been. It has bounced around from different areas, had different campuses, and finally has found its home in Wildomar. One of the big projects that we're working on now is we need to build a new dormitory. Currently, we are over max capacity, which is a good problem to have. There were, we ended the year with 86 students, and over half of the students were in the dorm or in homestays or in a variety of other nooks and crannies that we were able to store them. But it's been a tremendous blessing as far as that goes. And as Pastor said, the Bible study this morning, we'll talk a little bit about Christian education as well as CLHS. I want to thank you for your continued prayers and support, because after all, I want you to recognize and see CLHS for what it is. It's not its own entity down there. This is your school, and we're here to help and support as you guys also have helped and supported us. If you do have students getting towards high school age, put us in contact with them. If you have any questions, feel free to contact us. And if you have students that are not nearly at high school age, put us in contact with them. We'd like to be on their radar and your family's radars to help serve you, to help with that work. Because for the adults, do you remember being in high school? Do you remember some of the challenges that were there? I can only imagine how much more intensified they are now, and what a tremendous blessing that these students can go to school, be in God's Word on a daily basis, be surrounded by Christian friends and faculty that are going to proclaim the truths of God's word to them. So once again, I just want to say thank you for all the support that you have given in the past. And I just want to, and if there's anything that we can do to help serve you better, we'd be happy to do so. And I will just make on a totally side note. Something happened here today that has not happened to me in the years that I have been serving as a pastor. I think you caught it right after the sermon. What did you notice? Because I saw you giggling. Did you see it? What happened? I tripped. And it wasn't just a stumble. I almost face planted right there. And I caught myself on the bench. And then going up for the prayer afterwards, I said, okay, there's a little step here. And I go to walk off that, and I almost fell off again. So when Pastor Groth gets here, have him do a walkthrough a couple of times. Otherwise, because his first service, I'm sure, will be nerve-wracking enough as it is. And then if that happens, I don't know where he will go from there. So, but thank you again for the opportunity to worship with you, and God's blessings in your work and your service to your Savior here at St. Mark's.
And thank you, Pastor, for risking your life to share the gospel. Pastor and I will see you in the lobby one more time on your way out. May the Holy Spirit bless your week.